Hello, everyone. It's Richard Lanham for Set for Success, and welcome to the show. This is where we create or help you create a roadmap to transform your business, career, or life. Learning faster to keep up with business intelligence and artificial intelligence. This is what I'm going to dub this particular little monologue for you. I was reading a blog of a well-known and established management consultant who recommended to perform better, we must learn faster. This was in relations to business intelligence. Now, a little later, we'll get into what business intelligence is and artificial intelligence. We'll define that later, too. And what professionals need to do to survive in the advent of artificial intelligence into our business world, decision making and career or professional careers. It was suggested to beat AI, you had to learn faster. I had no choice but to write this business leader a personal email outlining his recommendation could be equated to the song John Henry. Now, I don't know if you remember who John Henry is, but John Henry was a steel gang lead with a hammer in his hand. He competed against the steam shovel at the turn of the century to beat technology down, saying he would die with a hammer in his hand. Steam shovel did win, and John Henry was laid to rest. It is said to this day, as trains pass by, they haunt this man who died with the hammer in his hand. That was just sort of a point on that. So my point of telling you that story is telling people to learn faster is like saying, here's a hammer, now go beat AI computers down in your analysis and decision making. That's the way I sort of read into this. So eventually, I think, and maybe my guests can put this to light, AI will win, you will die, and the economy will change. These are things that disrupt our economy. So what I think you should be doing is asking, what is artificial intelligence? What is business intelligence? What is the impact? Why is it important? How should you proceed? And is there a way to leverage our business intelligence? And in what way is AI going to impact your business? What should I do about it? And why is that so important? So these are some questions I have in my mind. So here we are, sitting down with our new guests and looking at the business landscape and the shift that may happen both in the business and professional landscape. So today, this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to chat a bit about artificial intelligence within the business community with our guest, Wally Trenholm, founder and CEO of Sightline Innovation. Wally, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope that opening made a lot of sense. I wrote it last night and thinking, yeah, okay, this sounds about right for me. was that bang on?
Absolutely. I mean, artificial intelligence and, you know, and even your story about the fellow with the hammer, AI is really shaping up to be perhaps the most disruptive force known in the post-industrial age.
Yeah, and right. we'll get into that. So let's start with a very simple question first, because, and we were talking about this before we started the show, I was just going to ask you, you know, Wally, tell us a little about who you are. So let's start there, and then we'll talk about all of the heavier impacts and disruption in business.
Sure. So I'm from Ontario, grew up in Oakville. I'm 42, I think. Yes, 42. I started programming actually really early. I started programming, I think, at 10. Was it 10 or 11? So I've been doing it for 32 years, professionally running my own company for 20 of those years. And for the last 10, I've been on the business side, transitioning from a pure tech person into someone who got thrown into business. We had a company, one of the first mobile development companies in the world, early developer partner of Research in Motion on the old BlackBerry, if anyone remembers the pre-phone BlackBerry, the one that actually, you know, the pager platform. Research in Motion purchased that company in 2006, and they didn't take the business people, they just took the tech people. So all of a sudden, here I am, and now I'm trying to be a business person. And so fast forward 10 years, I kind of ride that line between the two sides. And about 2 years ago, one of our stakeholders suggested that we should look at moving to Winnipeg, which is kind of an interesting story in and of itself. But now I'm split across being married to my lovely wife in Toronto and being based out here. And I'm on my way actually to fly back right after this conversation. And so I move around a lot. So, you know, that's basically me.
You do sound like you're all over the place. I mean that very respectfully. Years ago, I was road warrior for an organization. And that's exactly what it was like. Mm-hmm. It was exactly what you described. People would say, you know, tell us about you and where are you from? And you'd have that moment where you'd have to stop and think about it. Yeah. Where am I from today?
Absolutely. Or what, you know, wake up in a hotel room and you're like, okay, what time zone am I in right now? Yeah.
Or my favorite, and well, not my favorite, you get onto the elevator and you would actually forget what floor you're on because you'd forget what hotel you're in and right. where you had to go.
Was that last night or tonight?
Or the night before, right?
Absolutely.
And so you'd have that sort of experience. You are CEO of a company called
Sightline Innovation.
Sightline Innovation. So are you guys head office out of Winnipeg then? Is that how you're operating?
We are. So we were fully based in Toronto. We, as sort of artificial intelligence has become really part of the forefront in the economy, especially over the last 6 months. I mean, this is an incredibly active topic. I'd have to say 2 years ago when we first started talking about how to apply it in different sectors, someone's, you know, mentioned infectious diseases, and it turns out that Winnipeg is the global leading infectious disease laboratory out on Arlington. I didn't know that at the time, and I was educated about that. Had the privilege of being introduced to Dr. Frank Plummer, who's actually a key figure that basically, you know, had a huge role in making that lab what it is today. Had a conversation with some people around the company, and they said, you know what? You should take this AI wrapper that you're trying to build and put it around that global leadership, and I think you should move to Winnipeg. And that was about 2.5 years ago. And, you know, we've been grateful to be here ever since. So 6 months after that, we said, you know what, like the people that we've met in Winnipeg and the developer community that we have in Toronto, we said, you know, who's our best guy? He's from the University of Manitoba, just by complete chance. He happened to be educated at University of Manitoba. And we just said, you know, next time we're there, we should see what other people they might have from that school. So 6 months after we first stepped foot on Manitoba soil, the majority of our development team is now here. And we're extremely grateful for that.
You know what? I'm going to say thank you on behalf of Manitobans for that one, because I'm extremely grateful too for that. I'm going to do a side story, and we're going to talk about maybe in the next time what AI is. I'm one of those Manitobans that have kids, and guess what? They want to be computer programmers, right?
That's great.
And so when I hear situations like an organization like yours, which I refer to as a hidden gem in our economy, that you're building your organization here, I think everybody should just say, you know, thank you for that. That's really appreciated.
Well, I mean, I'd have to say the province, the government, the economic development people here are fantastic. The community as a whole, I've had a universally positive experience being here. And, you know, funny story is it was around the time, maybe it was a month after we'd first stepped foot on Manitoba soil. One of our stakeholders is from the Waterloo community, and we were traveling with him to sit down with a company in Waterloo. We were looking at doing a strategic deal with him. And so this Waterloo person turns to a Waterloo company, and while we're in the room, there's myself and another person from our company, and says, well, you know, because we're from Waterloo, we've got these advantages that people don't have in Toronto, and they just wouldn't understand. And I literally said, like, I'm from Toronto and I have no earthly idea what you people are talking about. Like, what could you mean of having an advantage of a community that's off to its own? It literally made no sense to me. And, you know, I was even thinking and mentioning to some people at the office today. I ran into some people in the underground downtown, and I just thought, you know what? Every single time I leave Winnipeg, and I'm not just saying this, honestly, every time I leave Winnipeg, I actually feel pretty rejuvenated, and I started to use the word therapeutic.
Oh,
doing
really?
Business here is actually quite therapeutic. And, you know, now I understand what those guys were talking about and grateful for it.
We got to take a short break, but I want to talk a bit more about being therapeutic in business. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out today with my new friend, Wally. Wally is the CEO of Sightline Innovations. Wally, just before the break, and we were chatting, you were talking about business in Winnipeg being therapeutic, which I just thought was great. You know, why not? You know, and it's interesting you would say that, because I come from a background where I've worked in Vancouver. I've lived and worked in Vancouver, and I've worked the Pacific Rim, and I lived in Calgary, and I've worked Edmonton, Calgary, London, Houston, Toronto, and stuff. And there is a different business vibe here. You know,
absolutely.
It's often people talk about it being a mid-range economy. That's what a sort of the official wording I hear. But there's a different vibe. And I'll tell you, I'm going to have to share a little story with you. I come from working with international organizations, so some big stuff and everything. And I was spending some time back here in Winnipeg 6 years ago, and I went to my first boardroom meeting. And I came from organizations that when they asked you, you know, a question, you had to give a business answer. Well, the first question I got asked by CEO in my first boardroom meeting in Winnipeg was, tell me about your family. And I didn't know how to respond because nobody said that anywhere else in the world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, yeah.
Why are you here? Why are you living in Winnipeg? Right. And I caught off guard initially. And I find that that's sort of the underpinning. I meet a lot of business leaders are very interested in knowing, you know, your roots and that. And then they'll talk business.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a real personal relationship here. You know, I was thinking maybe I'll test this out with you. You know, a really interesting potential slogan to put at the bottom of a license plate would be 1 degree of separation. Manitoba.
One degree of separation. Right. Well, they do call it friendly Manitoba. So that's already on the license plate.
Yeah.
I hope it still is. 1 degree of separation. Oh, yeah, that pretty much would do it, right? In the center of the universe, 1 degree of separation.
Yeah.
Now, we've been talking a little bit about throwing some words around. Okay. And I thought we should define them a little bit. Business intelligence, artificial intelligence. I mean, these are pretty big, heavyweight words that are now popping up in the vocabulary of business all over the place. And no doubt on the internet. I mean, you just do any kind of search, you're going to find out all sorts of warning signs or praises. So let's start there. How do you define business intelligence?
So, well, the business intelligence ecosystem, I would say, is software tools that I would say probably really hit their stride in the 90s, mostly statistical analysis tools like SAS, and there's Pentaho is another example company if anyone wanted to take a look at it. And a lot of that actually, Cognos did a fair amount of that work. The people who created that line of business came from the IBM background. And those tools give you sort of mathematical statistical analysis that would be, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but I could think of it as the kind of things that you'd use for actuarial science and in insurance. And, you know, statistical analysis can be very powerful for figuring out a lot of things when you have a model. But artificial intelligence is a little bit different. The three definitions that you'll hear commonly are terms that you need to define are artificial intelligence, machine learning, and deep learning.
Okay. And okay. So let's define those.
So artificial intelligence, I just think of as conceptually, you know, computers that think instead of, or learn more accurately instead of being programmed. So traditionally, when you program a computer, you're telling it pretty much exactly what to do for the most part in different conditions. So when you have a complicated program that's dealing with a lot of input, you have like programming an automated robot to do stock market trading. You got to keep programming and programming as things get more complex. But with artificial intelligence, you're building a program that is going to be taught. It's not going to be instructed. It's going to be taught by showing it data and having it learn on its own. Machine learning, the second term, is really a bag of tools that implement artificial intelligence-related functionality, or that's how I define it. And some of these definitions are a little bit, you know, a little bit loose.
Gray, yeah.
But machine learning is the way I define it, and I'm sure there's people in the field who'll take issue with this, but I would define it as the bag of tools, specific algorithms that kind of developed up until around 2005, 2006. And then deep learning is the big term that you'll see a lot of press on. And that's actually a specific mathematical, well, there's a number of different algorithms in it, but one of the key components is a thing called a convolutional neural network. And we'll leave that to the side. But what that is a mathematical simulation of the visual cortex. So deep learning is actually a biologically inspired mathematical simulation of a part of the brain that I'm looking at you at with right now. And if anyone really wants to dive in, they should look at the Wikipedia page, look up convolutional neural network and visual cortex and read them. And you will see how biologically inspired this recent development in AI is.
Wow. I'm sort of that particular definition of deep learning. I'm embarrassed to say that I did not have that clarity until this particular point in time. So now I got to think about what question and I have to ask, and then I start to think about what is the ramifications of this? Like, where's AI going? And I guess deep learning will tie those together. What is the potential ramifications of some of these things?
Well, the ramifications on the business side are very vast, right? But perhaps one thing I'd point out just before answering that is that deep learning specifically is actually a Canadian-born technology. And this is really important to point out. I mean, you know, I'd like to consider myself a proud Manitoban and a proud Canadian. We don't have a lot of transformational disruptive marks compared to other jurisdictions. I think it's something that we can do better at. Deep learning, most of the work really came out of an incredibly talented team at University of Toronto in partnership with a really talented team at the University of Montreal under Professor Jeffrey Hinton and Professor Yoshio Bengio, and they had a partner as well in the US. And that work happened, and a lot of that work happened here on Canadian soil. So, you know, it's pretty interesting.
We should be proud of this.
We should be proud of it. I mean, obviously, the professors and the researchers who've worked so hard to come up with this amazing work, I think every Canadian should know that they've done an amazing job, and it's a privilege to be able to work with their output.
Well, you know, and that's actually a really important point, because I know when we think in terms of, I'll just use the umbrella term technology, and sort of have that encompass everything that we're talking about right now. You know, if you ask people, well, where does everything come from, they would not say Canada. You know, it'd be, you understand what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, they would think somewhere else. We got to take a short break, but when we come back, I think we should investigate this topic a little bit more. This is Rich Lamford, Set for Success. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back. And I am hanging out with Wally. Wally's the CEO of Sightline Innovations. And Wally, fascinating guy. You know, like if I had just met you and we were just sitting back having a coffee or anything, I probably wouldn't have thought you were a computer programmer. And that's meant as a compliment, because you and I during the break were talking a bit about my youngest boy, Alex. And Alex is a computer programmer wannabe. And the challenge I often have with him sometimes is just way too quiet. but obviously we're on a topic that you like and that. Sightline, now we haven't really talked about what Sightline does. I guess in the opening you mentioned a little bit, but maybe that's where we go. What is Sightline Innovation? So start there.
So we are, we've been working in the artificial intelligence space, the machine learning space for, well, there's a number of different ways to count it, but probably about 6 years. And we've tried, we were early to the market. We were one of the first companies really, especially self-funded originally, trying to commercialize in this space. So we've tried a couple different verticals and so we did some manufacturing work. We're doing some construction work, still work in manufacturing, some medical things. And really what's happened in the last 6 months in the economy is AI's just gone, honestly, it's getting more attention than my wildest dreams even 12 months ago.
And like, that's a really big change. I mean, there's certain points in the economy, if you look back, right, and I guess we can go back 3 or 4 decades, maybe 5, you can see when there's been technology leaps. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, like the personal computers, right, from mainframes. And if you wish, allow me to go there. And then just sort of watching what's happened with companies like Microsoft and what they managed to achieve. Right. And shifted the way people did their work. Then, you know, suddenly people discovered what the Internet was. Right. Even though it was around a lot longer than mainstream understood. But then that created a whole big shift, too. Mm-hmm. So would we be able to say that AI right now is going to create a significant shift in the way we do business or the economy? Like, what do you see?
I really think it's going to be one of the most, if not the most significant shift in our lifetime. And I think it's going to happen faster. If you look at those cycles and PC adoption, the mobile cloud, all these things, they get faster and faster. The economy just gets faster and faster. And innovation cycles get faster and faster. AI, not even in the last 6 months, even just in 2017 alone, the attention being received of that topic, or the topics receiving, even from the slowest organizations like the federal government, no disrespect to the federal government of Canada, but no, I think we'd all agree, not known necessarily for being the fastest moving organization. That's actually where I started my career. So, you know, I got a bit of an inside feel for that as well. A lot of respect for it, but not very fast. And even still, in the last 6 months, I think the way that the federal government and other governments are looking at AI is really expanding. You know, people understand that it's going to be disruptive. And if we don't stay on top of it, we're squandering an opportunity and putting ourselves at risk.
Yeah. What do you think are going to be some of the opportunities that AI is going to present itself?
Well, I mean, I'll tell you about an organization that we have a privilege of being involved in. So there's a local organization called the Enterprise Machine Intelligence Learning Initiative. And this is a one of the first nonprofit kind of organizations set up around artificial intelligence here in Manitoba, chaired by a great business leader from the ag sector and the board of directors. I'm not on it. I just have the benefit of being in the AI sector. Really some great community leaders. And that organization was set up to try to address some of these problems. And, you know, I think that being able to educate a workforce to be able to, you know, handle transitions that are coming in the economy is really important because it's going to touch all sectors. So, you know, what Emily does is recognize that artificial intelligence success for a jurisdiction has to be inclusive of the entire labor market. And that's something that other jurisdictions haven't been thinking of. They really kind of look at it's a PhD issue. You create more PhDs, they're going to generate success. And while that is absolutely true, what we try to do as a company and kind of what, you know, what Emily's doing and we're also doing as a company is taking the successes that they produce, but putting it into practice. And that's what generates economic activity. So, you know, these are very disruptive across a wide sector of the economy, all sectors. And, you know, what Emily's doing, I think, is going to be a big help in managing this transition.
So I got two things I want to say about that. First, you're using Emily. So let's just, Emily's an acronym for, let's state it again.
Enterprise Machine Intelligence Learning Initiative.
Yeah.
And the enterprise part, which is the unique part, that means to do with commercialization specifically, not about extending the math that the great folks do like Dr. Hinton and whatnot. It's about putting that in the out of the server room and out of the lab into the field.
Implementation. It's about implementation. And that's always the big challenge for any organization. I almost get the feel as if we haven't fully comprehended yet exactly what the AI transformations are going to mean for business.
Well, let me give you a great example that's really at the heart of what Emily does, right? So Emily is very starting to take a lot of focus on ag. I mean, it's just precision agriculture is a very, very potentially impactful force in technology, especially for this region. So artificial intelligence for agriculture, I'm not an agriculture expert, but I know that there is such a thing as an agronomist. So you can get an agronomist to come in and they'll look at your fields and they'll figure out, okay, this is how much nitrogen or whatever you have to put in, look at the water, look at the lay of the land, and they can optimize your field. And they do that using skill that they've learned over years, perhaps decades. What artificial intelligence allows you to do is build that model computationally. And instead of being able to apply it at a field by field level, I can apply it on a meter by meter level. And when you do that, I won't quote the specific person, but a dean of agriculture at a university that's known for agriculture, not in Manitoba, told me that he thought that could increase profitability by 25% just by being able to calculate exactly how much you want to put in for every exact meter by meter of land. That's a big economic benefit and, you know, translates into different possibilities for how to utilize labor to bring up production and
to optimize the farm, right? The agricultural environment itself. That's actually quite significant for a place like Manitoba. I mean, there's a huge ag business here. So those kind of uses of AI, when do you think something like that would actually, or is it in place already, or is this... Well, I told you at the break I was going to ask the stupid questions.
No, these are. I mean, this is complicated stuff. You know, the equipment technology is in the market. The practice of using data is very limited. That's actually one of the things that Emily is trying to help by seeking funds from the federal government so that it can be pushed into the economy, so that a farmer who wouldn't necessarily be ready to take that risk and incur the cost of adopting that technology, so they get some funding assistance in the same way that I do as a startup. So yeah, I have the great tax program called Shred. It makes my development cost less. This is about trying to give that same benefit for innovation, but for people who already have established businesses. And so the chain of the equipment and the people, it's all coming. The question is when. I would say that we can do this within a couple of years, and I think it's going to be a common practice within 10 years, maybe even 5 years. And the goal of Emily is to make it so Manitoba has the global leading precision agriculture across the entire world. And there's no reason why that can't happen. We have everything that we need. We've got the AI components. We've got the ag components. We've got the equipment. We've got the business leaders right here. And we have the power that Manitoba has uniquely to work in that one degree of separation that we talked about earlier.
That's all a great point. This is Richard Land for Set for Success. We're going to take a short break. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. I'm hanging out with Wally. Wally is the CEO of Sightline Innovations. Sorry, got that correct, did I, Wally? Hopefully I did.
Innovation.
Innovation. Oh,
singular.
Singular. Oh, sorry about
that.
No,
that's okay.
I added the S. It's easy to say, actually. It's probably something that most people would say anyway.
We don't take offense to it at all.
Yeah, well, as long as you got the first part right and people can find you, I guess. So we were talking about artificial intelligence and the impact on the economy. And in our last segment, and particularly you were talking about an organization called Emily, and also what the ramification would be for the agriculture industry. So maybe that's where I'll start. I see it huge in terms of a province, in terms of our country, Canada, and
absolutely,
in terms of the impact. Are there other industries that you're working in that you're seeing artificial intelligence being applied that also having, I'm going to call it a revolutionary impact? Is that okay to use that term?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the appropriate term. I mean, I like to say that artificial intelligence is really applicable to anything that human thought is applicable to, because it's, you know, which is obviously everything. And I was making a presentation to some people from the defense sector a couple days ago, and I said, you know, a great way to think about how artificial intelligence can be potentially useful in a problem is, imagine I could take a skill in the art that's learned over years. I could take something that you know how to do quite well, and I could fill a stadium of people who had your ability, and I could give them they'd never get tired. They'd always work consistently. And they had the ability to communicate in ways that we can't even fathom. Would that be useful to your operation? And the answer is usually yes. And that is kind of what artificial intelligence is all about, and how it is going to be revolutionary in the economy.
That's actually a really good definition. And the fact that you use it, well, in terms of the presentation you were talking about too, because I'm sure it applies right across all other industries. I guess the one question I would have is, I can't help but think about this from a human perspective. What about me? Okay, so that's the human question, right? Mm-hmm. So, and then when I say what about me, I'm not talking about me specifically, I'm talking about people,
right?
So what is the impact of artificial intelligence on people's lives?
Well, I mean, one stat I saw at an event I was in the U.S. said that, I think it was 2020, they said 80% of all corporate interaction from consumers to corporations will be automated by 2020. I mean, that really shows you that we are talking drastic change. You know, I mentioned before that the conversation with the federal government has really accelerated over the last 12 months.
It has.
I have to admit, 12 months ago, one of the big topics about AI, we were very kind of, to be honest, kind of nervous about, you know, people looking at it and saying, okay, well, this is disruptive in a bad way, because, you know, there's disruption is a double-edged sword. But where I really found that the federal government was starting to get it is that, you know, they recognize that now. And, from my understanding, reading between the lines. And so it's an inevitable wave. What does it mean for the human player? It means that we really do need to stay advanced on our skills. We really do need to retrain people. in ways for them to be productive. And I'd say, you know, specifically with Emily, that was really part of the goal, is that, like I said, the jurisdiction that's going to be successful here is going to be the people who figure out how to integrate their entire labor market. And I think that's something that Canada can do uniquely with the lay of the land in today's world. So people who have, you know, who've worked in factories, now maybe they're going to work on data that's factory related. They can take their domain expertise and be part of what is involved in the automation, the creation, the maintenance of the automation. You know, those are the jobs really of the future. And just in reference to the conversation about your son, we get a lot of people who talk about, you know, how do I get, what would you say to you, kids today looking for a job, right? And I have a nephew who's 15. I say this all the time. You really need to stay math, science. If you can find yourself interested in computing, you really win, right? And the reason why I love programming is because it's engineering without physical limitation. And in today's world, it applies to everything. So you like music, go work on programs for music. It can apply to everything. And if you can find it striking passion within you, then you're going to be very competitive no matter how automated the economy gets.
I have sort of another question for you on that one, because I'm always interested in what's coming down the pipe that's going to impact business, people's lives and business and careers. Because let's face it, I mean, the bulk of our lives is working, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about computer programming, and I'm just curious as to where you might go with this, is there ever too late to learn how to be a computer programmer?
I'm so glad you asked that
question.
Really? The answer is absolutely not. It's never too late and it's never too early. And, you know, when I see people playing Sudoku and stuff like that, I'm like, you should just program, because programming is like a puzzle. And in today's world, you don't have to be in school to do that. You can work on an open source project. You can pick up my favorite programming language, Python, which is a big language in the machine learning space now. We were the system we sold to RIM was actually probably one of the first commercial Python programs out there. And there's YouTube videos. You can start programming today. If you wanted to, you go home, carve out 2 hours, and you could write your first Python program, I bet you. And if you can't, please reach out to me at info@sightlineinnovation.com and I will make sure that I'll produce the YouTube video myself.
And make it happen for you.
And I will make it happen.
I was just going to ask, if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that? You can repeat that, actually.
So info@sightlineinnovation.com will get read. And it gets mapped into me as well. So that's really your best stop.
To connect.
People who want to get into programming, Python, of all ages, children, you know, your kids, whatever it is, you got 2 hours where you can pay attention, that be motivated to pay attention. I can get you writing your first Python program, and you can go as far as you want.
I'm glad you said that, because I think there's a whole area in the economy that's going to shift, and you have these subject matter experts. You talk about domain knowledge, so subject matter experts, be it a mechanic or a manufacturer worker, whatever, and they've got to learn a little bit about computers and programming to be able to move forward, and it's never too late.
They shouldn't be scared of it. Honestly, programming is, to be very honest, Richard, programming is actually, it is therapeutic for me. And when I don't program for a long time, it's almost like some people play the music. I play music as well. There's things that people work out. I fortunately don't do that, but it is one of those things that can be like settling in the mind. And, you know, I think everyone should try it. You never know.
Might be your thing. What a show we've been having. I mean, Wally, you've been providing me some incredible information about a topic that I've been wanting to have somebody on the show to talk about. And the show did go in a way that I didn't sort of expect, but that's okay. It's been all really good. If you had a final thought for our listeners, what would it be?
It would be that artificial intelligence is really an inevitable wave. About 6 months ago, I had the thought of, gee, I wonder if it's going to be more impactful than globalization. I wonder if a globalization expert like Tom Friedman would agree to that. And now I think that they probably would. This is inevitable. And I think that people should, you know, learning more about technology is something that's available to everyone, and it shouldn't be scary. It really shouldn't.
And if it is,
you should reach out to us. I'd like to find a way to keep the conversation going.
Good. I want to thank you for joining.
It's been a pleasure.
This has been unbelievable. And of course, listeners, thank you for tuning in. Go look up a little bit on AI and machine learning and business intelligence. There's lots of stuff on the internet about that. If you have a thought, a question, email me, richard@setforsuccess.ca. And remember, do your best, invest in the success of others, and make your journey count.